Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal service for over 26 years. We're a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter that you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com for a free consultation. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the Law Office of Douglas Viviani at vivianilaw@aol.com.
You're just too good to be true. Can't take my eyes off you.
Welcome to Everything Old is New Again, and that, of course, is a clip from the Jersey Boys, the movie, which is, of course, a Broadway show first, and now has become a movie directed by none other than Clint Eastwood. There's been some reviews, positive and negative. I went to go see it, and it inspired me to put this show on the docket, if you will, to discuss the presentation of Broadway in the movies, and more specifically, what's going on with Broadway now, and are we at the point where Broadway is presenting us just the original music from movies that are now on Broadway, and they're presenting that as if it's an original show? It's kind of derivative. We've seen the history of Broadway begin in 1866, believe it or not. We go all the way back there, and then when there was Ziegfeld Follies in all the way up until the 1950s, 1957, a variety show with lavish productions. And Dave is very, very excited and interested to hear all the history of Broadway as we sit here today. I'm here with David Cohen.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for acknowledging my existence.
You know here,
I was wondering when that was going to happen. But fill in the 1866 was the first musical. What happened between then and 1907? I'm really interested in knowing all the
history. They were planning the No No Nanette play, and that, of course, was
Babe Ruth.
Yes, that was the play that
finally
was financed by Babe Ruth, if you will. So you could say Babe Ruth contributed to the presentation of Broadway as well as building the stadium in
the
Bronx.
How do you like that?
Yes. In addition to that, there was the Ziegfeld Follies ran for 50 years from 1907 to 57, and
yeah,
of course,
remember
Dave remembers that.
That
yeah. Part of that was a vaudevillian type of performance, but a big lavish show production there. Then George M. Cohen was a pioneer of the book musical. What does that mean to us novices, if you will? That's where there's a story told in a musical, not just playing music.
Right.
So how do you feel about all this so far, Dave? We're going to now talk about Rodgers and Hammerstein in the 1940s and 50s. And in the 60s, there was Hello, Dolly and West Side Story. This is quite the history lesson.
And which brings us to a favorite story of ours, right?
Well, before we do, in the 70s, there was something called the Chorus Line that I think changed Broadway a little bit in that it began to present modern, if you will, type of music. Let's just take a listen to a short song that's known as the Chorus Line.
One singular sensation, every little step she takes.
All right, we can cut that down. I just kind of almost, hate to say that, vomited at that point. I've heard that song so many times, but it's a classic, and of course, that's what got people going to the theater in the 70s. And then something happened in 1977 that we were there.
Changed
for,
our lives forever.
Changed our lives forever. And it wasn't the actual.
Our lives meaning yours and mine, not
correct.
Anyone else out there.
And no one with regard to Broadway. But no one even thinks of this as a seminal show, but I do, in that we didn't get a chance to see the real Beatles. Certainly, we've done a show about the Beatles. We've done two shows about the Beatles and how they affected.
We were too young.
But we did see Beatlemania.
We did.
Beatlemania, the Broadway show.
Yes.
When we were in high school. And that was a terrific performance. It was something that wasn't really recorded. There's a movie, but it's pretty poor. And it doesn't reflect
what's
out
there. I didn't even know
there
was a movie.
Yeah, there is. I've seen it. And it doesn't really give you the feel of what it was. It really was like seeing the Beatles. Let's listen to some people back in the day that what they were saying when this show was first aired.
Beatlemania is playing to standing ovations across the country, and here's why.
Yeah, I never saw the Beatles in person, but I feel like I have now.
They look like them, they sound like them.
It's
effects of really the last word.
Beatlemania starts August 7th for limited engagement at the Schubert Theater.
I think that, yeah.
But do you remember the in the commercial when one of the women said, I just wanted to rip their clothes off? Remember that?
I do remember that. And it was that's exactly what got us to go. That was the thing that inspired us. We saw that commercial. We really
wanted
to
We didn't want to rip the clothes off. But the excitement, I think, was the essence.
Right, because, of course, at Shea Stadium, now we all remember that's what happened. And everywhere they went, they were mobbed and so forth. But more specifically to Broadway, that, to me, was the first time that music that you already knew was being performed on Broadway. Until then, since 18... What was that date? 1860.
I believe it was... Let me check my textbook that you wrote.
Yes.
1866.
With two exclamation points, because we didn't
realize... Seven Sisters, it was called.
Right after the Civil War, as a matter of fact, right? If you really think about it, Civil War, 1865.
People needed a break from this. Enough with the Civil War. They wanted something lighter.
They wanted a musical. But since then, until, you know, over 100 years, Broadway did not have anything but original music, an original.
The gall.
Imagine, so the Beatles broke the way there and broke the bank.
So that was the first musical that I saw and you saw. We went together with some friends and
we had a great time in the city. We were teenagers at the time. I don't think parents would let a 16-year-old go or 17-year-old go into the city.
I don't think so.
We would run in. We did have a group of about, I don't know, maybe 10 tops people.
Right.
And we went into the city on the train, the whole bit. And I remember we were naive and we saw these fellas at the corner of the street. This is back in the 70s.
This up.
And
no.
There was a fellow with cards going back and forth.
A three card
later
Monty
learned out
game.
To what was it called?
A three card Monty.
What happened there, Dave? I don't remember exactly.
It's cloudy to me. I don't totally recall.
We all stood around and someone got sucked into the excitement of it all.
It was a low point for
and
me.
Had a wallet full of money. I think back then $20 was a huge amount.
I lost more than that.
I think the tickets were like 12. So
yeah,
you know, comparatively speaking, right? Tickets in like what, I don't know. 100
it looked bucks. So easy. I mean, it was three shells, and you just had to figure out where the thing was under the shell, the ball, or whatever it was.
I thought it was cards. Was it a card, the black and red card, or maybe it was not? Anyway, either way, it was one of those two games.
No, it wasn't three card Monty.
Oh.
It was a shell game.
Oh,
it was a shell game, right.
And we were excited. We just got off the subway. First time in the city without the parents. We had all these friends and girls and guys. We were having a great time. It's going to see Beatlemania. This is like the high point. And literally 5 minutes into the city, Dave lost every dollar he had.
I lost 20 and then I figured I could do it. Again, like I must have just missed the first one.
I remember you digging into those pants. Remember those? We wore those tight jeans back then, the Jordans.
The Jordans.
You were digging in. I can just see it as I sit here now. Just flashback of you digging into that pocket for another. The front pocket. You had like one more bill. You didn't have a wallet. You said like the one more
bill. I think it was like $60. I ended up blowing on it. I would have bet more, but the show was starting. So
since then, that's why you don't go to racetrack, I guess. At this point, I mean, you've gotten away from that.
I learned a valuable lesson though that day,
which was stay away from three card.
Don't
Monty.
Gamble, right?
Or don't go to the city with me. I don't know if I was a bad influence, but along that time came another gentleman that kind of brought Broadway along and still has an effect to this day. He, to me, was the George Cohen of his day, Andrew Lloyd Webber, and of course with Tim Rice, another talented individual. They brought Tim Rice is the fellow that works with Elton John. They brought to bear Jesus Christ Superstar, and let's hear how that went. You get the idea on that one, and you've probably heard that ad nauseum as well. That also was turned into a movie, so we were seeing a lot of things happening on Broadway where musicals such as that, such as West Side Story, such as Sound of Music, such as Man of La Mancha, all were successful on Broadway and being brought to the movie theaters. Unsuccessfully, but that was being done to bring Broadway to the masses, if you will. I guess that's part of it. And that also, with the advent of Jesus Christ Superstar, began the career of Andrew Lloyd Webber, who brought us Evita in 1978, Cats in 1981.
Oh, Cats was so good.
That was a great one. I remember going to see Cats.
I think that was probably the second one I went to. I don't know about you.
I went to Cats on a dare.
A dare,
if you will. And I went to go see it, trying to impress a young lady. And I sat through this show. It was really my first show besides Beatlemania. And I knew when Beatlemania was ending is when they broke up. That was easy, right? In this particular show, I heard, you know, Memories. That was the song. So I hear Memories being played, and it's over, and the curtain comes up, and I put my jacket on, and I'm ready to go, and I hear that you can have an opportunity to meet the big cat, Mephistopheles, you know, in between intermission, and we'll be right back for another hour and a half of this malarkey.
You thought the show was over.
I thought it was over. I was devastated because that is, to me as a kid, was not a fun show, but it was for many, many, many people. We'll be right back to continue this scintillating discussion of our interaction with Broadway and how it affects you on Everything Old is New Again, News Radio 103.9. Before one, we're going to start the argument you're going to love to have.
This portion of Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by ResumeDoctorInc.com. When you're seeking to change your career, apply for a promotion, or trying to find a job, your resume is the first thing that's seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job interview. Send your current resume to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com for a free online review. You'll receive a timely reply with a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let them make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com. That's ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com.
There's only, yes, there's only this. Forget, regret, or life is yours to miss. No.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. That kind of ended pretty quick. I was going kind of good there. I really was not a Rent fan back in the day when that started back in the late 90s. But my wife dragged me to it, and then there was a movie made that actually was made as a nice representation of that play, whether you like it or not. They did a nice job with that. It made a couple dollars. A lot of times now in the 90s, what was happening was that these movies were made from existing Broadway shows and trying to, again, bring them to the general public. And they always weren't successful, but what happened on Broadway was that, from what I understand, was that Rent and even recently Les Mis, which is coming back and just came back, even if the play doesn't, I should say the movie doesn't do great, it does bring the awareness to, let's say, the out-of-towners coming to New York City, wanting to see a play, and they've now heard or seen ads for these plays as movies, and the box office for Broadway has never been better at present.
Right.
Now, speaking of Rent, and to me that is analogous to Les Mis in 1987, and all the Andrew Lloyd Webber plays, these were continuing the trend of original works on Broadway, original works that were real theater that gave you a significant meaning, social issues discussed. Les Mis talks about life and death, and what is there life after death, and infers that there is.
What did Cats do? What did...
Yeah,
can we
get back?
So when you went to Cats, not to get away from this topic, but were you on a date? You said, right?
Yes, I was on a date, and I was trying to impress. I was actually wearing a sports coat, and I was and there were these. If you remember the time, that was an interactive play where you sat down, and there was like right on like the seat next to you or the aisles, there were these cats, these people dressed up as cats,
right
there licking themselves and all this. It was a lot of malarkey, but I put up with it because this girl really wanted to see this show.
So what happened? I mean, was it worth going to Cats?
Absolutely not.
It was the first and last date?
No. I continued to try to impress this young lady. But let's put it this way. That show and the fact that at the end of it, first of all, me getting up and putting my jacket back on and intermission and saying, okay, let's get going, didn't impress her too much. The second thing was I didn't know who T.S. Eliot was, and I still don't. Like, God forbid, he's a big, guy that writes poems? Well, he's got all these poems about cats, and that's what that show was about.
A guy that writes poems, T.S. Eliot.
A poist? What do you call these guys? Anyway.
I think they're called poets.
All right, yeah, but that then turned, well, I guess you could say that he didn't turn the show into, or his poems into a show. It was Andrew Lloyd Webber that did that, Tim Rice,
right,
which is the genius of those two, and I don't mean to put them down, because that was the longest running, when it ended, the longest running show on Broadway. Yeah,
I can see why she didn't go out with you again. But
well, from your perspective, I don't know what she was thinking, but I guess she was thinking the same thing.
Can we divulge names? I don't remember.
No, not going to do that.
Because,
you know, we're nationwide on the internet. You know, you can listen to us.
Oh,
on,
that's true. I just meant I'm trying to remember who it was because I knew you back then. But well, yes. We'll talk off the air.
Yeah, I guess because, you can listen to us on LongIslandNewsRadio.com. Just click listen live if you're not in the area, and or listen to our podcast at everythingoldisnewagain.biz. Feel free to do so, and then please comment about our shows, if you will, and send us the comments to oldnewagain@aol.com. But then in 94, something happened that really changed the world, if you will, and on Disney, on Broadway, and that Disney brought to the theater a presentation of a movie. So something now from the movies, not the reverse, something coming from the movies to the Broadway stage in Beauty and the Beast in 1994. And that stayed on Broadway till 2007, highly successful. So now in the late 90s to the even till present now, I see there's a struggle, if you will, between the derivative works, you know, works taken from other existing products, such as Lion King, which was a movie first and brought to the stage, versus like a Les Mis, if you will, that's a brand new original production, or an Andrew Lloyd Webber production that is something that that they're battling each other. Let's take a listen to what was on about the same time that Rent came out. Let's listen to a little bit of The Lion King. All right, so we recognize that song. They've changed some of the music. They've added some music. I still haven't seen it. I have, as we all know, a five-year-old girl, so within the next year or so, I'll be going. It sounds like it would be okay. I guess I would enjoy it.
I saw it.
What'd you think?
My son, when he was younger, it was a birthday party, believe it or not, and the birthday party was the mom and dad of this kid. They were 5 years old, I think, at the time. Invited about 20 kids and their parents to The Lion King. It was nice. It was, the kids liked it.
17 years later, it's still there.
It's still there.
The thing that gets me, everybody talks about these costumes and you'll not realize that it's human beings being these animals and all that.
It was pretty
impressive. I couldn't imagine that, but I've seen it now, since the internet's come around, you can see, and really is done well. Then we've still got this struggle here now of original works versus Disney. And something came out in 2003 that was quite successful and quite original.
To those who ground me, take a message back from me. Tell them how I am defying gravity.
Now around that, well, of course, that's Wicked. Indina Menzel, who later on, before that, did Rent, was an original star of Rent on Broadway, and did now those Let It Go song from Frozen, which we've known and heard over this last year.
Now they have a whole show built around her, right?
And now there's
If Then?
Exactly, which is quite successful at this point as well. Indina Menzel's the name. I think we could probably encapsulate that, send it off in an email if we could ever find John Travolta's email. Because that's the name of the person that he was
trying to pronounce, that he messed up.
Yeah, if you remember that. And around that time, Disney came out with, a couple, 4 years later, came out with something else on Broadway.
Up where they walk, up where they run, up where they stay all day in the sun, wandering free, wish I could be part of.
okay, again, a song that you know already before you go into the theater. So Disney's banking on the idea that...
That obviously was...
The Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, she was struggling.
You didn't know, huh?
No, I didn't know at all.
Okay. I've become the Disney expert with my little girl.
So have you had more success going to Broadway shows with your wife? I assume that...
Yes, we went to go see... I have a little bit of time here. I'll tell the story. We went to go see Phantom of the Opera when we were dating. And again, another show that I kind of, you know, okay, I'll go see it, whatever. And we made a day of it on a Saturday. So we go in. It was the day show. We went to go see it, what they call it, the matinee. And I was suitably impressed. I sort of enjoyed that that show. It has a little bit of, you know, I'm the Star Trek guy and psychedelics and whatever. It had a little bit of a, you know, ghost story in there. So I kind of liked that. I liked the orchestrations. So I was kind of into... going to another show. So we had lunch, and I said, let's go to see if we can get some tickets to see another show. And her big show, of course, she loves Les Mis as well. So we tried to get tickets for Les Mis. We could not get the tickets. She'd go to those, you know, the day booth there.
Yeah,
and try
the twofers line there. Right,
or TKTS, whatever it might be. And couldn't get them. So I'm the baseball fan that I am. I said, well, why don't we just go in front of the theater and scalp them? Which I guess they don't do, but I did that. Something made us do that. We went there. Again, this is before we were engaged, and I was, again, trying to impress. So I figured, you know, if we can get scalp some tickets here, you know, be a nice day.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know she knows this play and loves it already. As we get to the in front of the theater, of course, there's no one scalping, but some fellow walks up to us and says, my peeps aren't showing here. I don't even know what that meant. My peeps aren't showing, but whatever it was, he gave us two tickets to see Les Mis. By the time I figured out that this
he just
fellow,
gave them to you,
just gave
you didn't
them.
Have to, you didn't
and
have to
out of a huge crowd of people. We had just arrived. I don't know. He could have given it to anybody else.
Right.
Gives them to us. I turn around, you know, look over my shoulder to see and to thank him and question him and maybe give him a tip or I don't know what. And he's disappeared.
Wow.
So for us, he was an angel, and I don't know if he really was an angel or not. If he was like the ghost from you know, Phantom of the Opera coming type of thing coming.
Right. But it was your idea to go and try to get it, and you scored the tickets.
So the tickets, she loved the show. I actually really enjoyed that show. You come to love these things if you're with someone that loves it. You see it through their eyes. And speaking of which, we will now continue our discussion next week on Everything Old Is New Again. With another discussion of Broadway and You. Enjoy.
Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by the Law Office of Douglas Viviani. Douglas Viviani has been providing quality legal service for over 26 years. We're a general practice firm and can handle any legal matter that you may have for a reasonable fee. If you were involved in a car accident, starting a business, planning your estate, or need a criminal attorney, please call 631-681-1910 or email us at vivianilaw@aol.com for a free consultation. Get the justice you deserve. Contact the law office of Douglas Viviani at vivianilaw@aol.com.
Whole new world, a dazzling place I never knew. But when I'm way up here, it's crystal clear. And now I'm in a whole new world with
now
you.
I'm in a whole new world. Welcome to Everything Old Is New Again. I was just tuning up in the... in the side room here singing that song. That was, let's start again. Sorry.
No, keep it going. Keep it going. Now let's hear you sing.
I was singing that song and I was really I was just going to belt into it just now.
Come on,
No, I have a vision of my little guy when I sing this song, my little guy and my little girl, they put their hands to their ears immediately when I start singing.
Really?
So I don't want the audience to do that here on Everything Old Is New Again. We're discussing Broadway and how it affects us.
Now I'm intrigued. Now I really want to hear you sing it.
I will sing it at the end. How about that? If we have some time, I will sing for you.
Okay.
All right, because I know the words of that song. That's Aladdin. It's on Broadway now. It's the newest Disney presentation on Broadway of a performance that already was in the movie theaters, a play, if you will, that now is a hit. It's the thing that's happening that I see more often than not now. Today's Broadway is they're just doing the idea of bringing a Broadway show from the theater in a derivative way, because why? Why do you think they're doing that?
Well, they must want audience members, because me, I kind of like that. I like, if I'm going to spend 100 or whatever it is, $150 on a Broadway ticket, I don't want to chance it on something I've never heard of before. I'd rather go to see a show based on a movie that I've seen or music that I know of, like the Jersey Boys. So I know at least I have a shot at liking this.
I understand that. There's the something inside of me that agrees with that. But when I go to Broadway, I don't want to see a remake of something I've seen in the theater already, or can see in the theater, or in the way of Disney stuff. By the time you're bringing your child to this, you've seen this movie 17 times. If you have a little child and they'll be watching these things over and over again. So it takes away for me from the theater aspect of going to Broadway and being something special.
Something new, something different.
Exactly, something original that you're not going to see anywhere else. But to your point, I mean, right now, I would say for the last 10 years, most of what's on Broadway, I think, are derivative works, and we'll explore that today on Everything Old is New Again. If you missed our last broadcast with David Cohen, Douglas Viviani, you can tune in to everythingoldisnewagain.biz. We have a website, of course, and on the website, you can just press podcast and see all of our prior shows. Please comment. Give us an email. Let us know how we're doing at oldnewagain@aol.com. Let's take a listen to something that's also been on Broadway for a long time.
And when you get the chance, you are the dancing queen, young and sweet, only 17.
Now, when I first heard ABBA back in the day, I completely ignored it. I wanted nothing to do with ABBA and that music. You? I mean, I don't know. Now with It's a Play, they've turned you on to it a little bit.
Yeah, well, I heard that the show was good. I haven't seen it, don't get me wrong, but again, I think it brought in people because people liked ABBA, but the show is also got good reviews, and I think that's what drew people.
And this is a little different now, in that the music but it's a little different than Beatlemania, for example, that we talked about last week, in that you know the music, yes, but there's a story that they created that is original that they kind of plug in the music into this story. So it's a hybrid. And when I heard that it wasn't just, the same music.
ABBA-mania.
Yeah,
it was an ABBA-mania.
Exactly. I said, all right, I'll go. My wife really loved it, and she loved the movie. Again, I don't think these movies are making a lot of money, but it's bringing the audience from the country that comes to visit New York to see these shows. That's a highly successful show. Been on Broadway. I don't have the years on that, but on at least 10 years.
I would think.
And is a big hit. Juxtapose that to something that, let's see what's happening with the original music, type of music, or is this original?
Winter, spring, summer, or fall.
Yeah, that's right.
You've got a friend.
Sorry, it's not original. Trying to find original music.
I was wondering where you're going with that.
I wanted to kind of fool everybody and see if that was, if you're listening, if you will. Because that's, again, not original, but a brand new,
right.
Very successful, I think, is selling out, Carole King a musical called Beautiful.
About Carole King.
And her life, and right. It's a bio story, if you will.
But that's, a couple of schmoes like you and me, that's what we're going to go see because we know it. And maybe that's the kind of crowd that they're trying to draw.
It's possible, but also I think what happens, too, is when you have this kind of thing where you know the music already and taking the chance out of it, but also maybe you'll go see it again and again. Like my wife, for example, loves a lot of these shows we've mentioned, but she loves Wicked. So my bachelor party was coming around, and what I did was to ensure that I didn't have any difficulties that night. I bought tickets for her and her mom to see Wicked, and they went to see it the second or third time for each of them. Again, an original show, but they knew the music, and so they went again just to see.
So, and what show did you see during your bachelor party?
We gambled. All we did was gamble. It was a lot of fun. So along those lines, let's take a look at, an understanding that now we've got Lion King, Jersey Boys, Motown, Cinderella, Beautiful, we just spoke about, Mamma Mia, a lot of, plays that are not original. Is there anything out there that we can battle back now? Is the original Broadway musical dead is the real question. And at this point, let's take a look. We've got something from Woody Allen's Bullets Over Broadway. Let's see if that's something he's listening to.
Regardless of their talking, oftentimes the ones that talk will get down on their knees.
Please cut that back. And this is the type of hate to say thank you, Mike, our engineer. That is disappointing
because you'd think something that, Woody Allen did would translate to Broadway, just like Mel Brooks and the producers translated really well, but that one just didn't.
I mean, that was
pretty awful.
It's a Woody Allen movie. I don't know how the play is, other than I've heard this music, and it is just, for me, it's a throwback.
There was no music in the movie.
Yeah.
At least the producers, they had the, you know, Springtime for Hitler in the original movie, so it had some sense of a musical behind it. It was about a musical, the movie.
Right, and I won't talk about how my wife and I walked out of the producers because it was just a rehash of the movie and the same old jokes from
a million years ago.
Yeah. Oh, what a wow. That was a disaster. Thank God I was already married, because I had flashbacks to Cats. And my experience with that, it was just...
Really?
You go to the wrong show with somebody, you know, they'll remember that. And you recommended it. Meanwhile, that's a whole other show why I didn't like the producers.
But both of you didn't like it.
We looked at each other when, if you know the show, when the old ladies came out to sing, the grandmothers with the walkers, right. we had had enough. We just said,
wow.
That's it. We got up.
Okay.
We actually left, believe it or not, in the middle of that performance. It wasn't even like we waited for the curtain to come down at intermission. Yeah,
how much did you pay for the tickets?
It was at its height with Nathan Lane and Matthew Broderick.
And Matthew Broderick.
Like $150 bucks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, okay. So, now you know where I'm coming from. But I hear about this Matilda, and this is brand new, and this is supposed to be wonderful. It's about a little girl that has, like, ESP or telekinect. What's that word? You know, telekinesis. Can get involved with moving objects with her mind. So, again, that's sort of a sci-fi or a paranormal. I'm excited about that until I hear this. I think 14 people just turned off the radio, at least 1,400 people maybe.
No, 14.
14.
That's our listener base. They're all gone.
14
it's just
out
you
20.
And me now.
But, I mean, I know. Is that something that, you know, makes you say, I got to go see that play?
No.
Yeah. I mean, no, some of these, it sounds like the play itself in terms of the idea of it, and possibly has some interest in to us, but when you hear these little kids, you know, dancing and singing like that, it's just me. It's not my bag of.
I'd rather watch the Little Rascals, see them dance and sing. You know, the Flory Dories.
How about that for a Broadway show?
Those were better shows than what they have now.
Interesting.
Spanky and, you know.
Can we
Alfalfa crooning? I go see that on Broadway.
What's that song you used to sing all the time to Dala? Oh boy.
The Object of My Affection?
Yeah,
the
forget
Object
that one.
Of My Affection.
There's another one, but anyway.
Are we going to hear you sing? Or is that after
if I
the
could
break?
Remember that song, but no one can remember that song.
No.
What is it? No. In the break, we will converse and try to get that. Maybe we'll open with me singing that version.
No, we'll definitely open with you singing that.
All right. We'll be right back. Come on back.
This portion of Everything Old is New Again is sponsored by ResumeDoctorInc.com. When you're seeking to change your career, apply for a promotion, or trying to find a job, your resume is the first thing that's seen that represents you to a potential employer. Make sure your resume makes a clear, concise, and professional impression of who you are so you can get that job interview. Send your current resume to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com for a free online review. You'll receive a timely reply with a reasonable quote to properly prepare your resume. Let them make sure you have a resume that will get you noticed. Send your resume or questions to ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com. That's ResumeDoctorInc@AOL.com.
Welcome back to Everything Old is New Again. We have a special treat coming up right now. Douglas Viviani as Alfalfa singing.
Let me call you sweetheart. I'm in love with you.
Yeah, that's
there you
not
go.
Bad. That's,
thank you. That's what I say.
It was going to be horrible, but it wasn't.
It's enough to at least try to put a child to bed, but I've done that, as I've said a number of times. My kids now, at this point when I sing, they put their hand over my mouth.
Wow.
So I have a little bit of a...
I mean, it was shaky in the beginning. It was a little pitchy, dog. But at the end, it was...
I pulled it together.
The tremolo thing going there? What's... Wow. Okay.
Well, my first time singing in public in quite some time. Dave and I had a band, The News, back in 1979 through 83, maybe.
Yeah.
The new wave band that was doing Dave's...
Well, we didn't hit it nationally until after that.
We literally swept the country. Sweeping. Long story short, we're talking about...
But your singing got a lot better, I have to say.
Ah, thank you.
I was expecting it to be just disastrous.
Well, the songs that you gave me back in the day were, you know, My Sharona and these songs that were like pretty high in the vocal range, and I really couldn't hit them.
My Sharona. It really sounded like Alfalfa. That was the problem back then.
But by the way, Alfalfa didn't sound as good as I did. I'm going to propose to you.
I'm telling you.
All right. So if anybody's like listening that has a connection with any kind of record company or whatever, wants to put out a comedy album, I could be the new William Shatner.
Let's not get carried away.
I could do that.
It wasn't that great. It was better than I thought. But.
Yeah, but Shatner's not that great. He sells albums left and right. All right. Anyway, talking about Broadway, I think we left off where we had trying to search for the new original Broadway musicals and see what's happening on that vein, and is the original musical dead? At this point, there's a derivative show that just closed or is closing, but was out there for a while, and Bono from U2 created the music or wrote a lot of it,
right,
for Spider-Man.
Because you know why? If Bono was singing, I'd probably like it. Bono's not singing it.
Yeah.
No interest.
I don't know. I'm not so... I can't decide on that. I have to say that it's not something that makes me interested. The subject matter does, but I'm getting an impression that it's closing because you go in there and you're highly disappointed in the music. Why couldn't that just been a regular play? Why does that? Sometimes they make these musicals and they throw the music in there, and it's this sing-song stuff that just to get
right.
the play moving along with and called a musical, but it's not good music.
Yeah, they don't need to do that.
Yeah, just such as there's a comedy out there, Book of Mormon, very successful. They're making a musical out of that, or made a musical out of that. I'm not sure we love it. They could listen.
That's not fair because the lyrics are so funny. Does it matter whether it's you remember the tune?
Well, I haven't seen the show, but I have to say, it's definitely could be funny. But this is going to leave as a big question mark because is it funny because of the music or in spite of the music? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But it's highly successful. But do we really call it a musical? Are you going to, like, to me, a musical would be something you're going to buy the CD or download from iTunes, you know, the music to listen to.
Because you like the song. You like the tune.
Right. That, I mean, might be funny and it's not fair, whatever, but it is fair when you're categorizing it as a musical. That's where I'm at. Then there's something else that's really weird happening out there. Take a listen to this, see if you know what show this is.
You got to keep fighting, knock me down. I'll try to come to.
Okay, where do you think that's from?
Rocky?
Yes.
That's horrible.
It's horrible, and this is the exact opposite of what you would think would
cut
be on
me,
Broadway.
Cut me, Mickey, cut me.
Yeah, can you... They're up in arms saying, it's wonderful, because there's actually... They have a boxing ring on stage that comes out.
Wow,
isn't that... I mean... First of all, we've seen all five Rockies, or six now, right, with Rocky Balboa. Do we need to... I don't know. It's so derivative. The music is just, you know, it's just not there, if you ask me.
Do they even play Eye of the Tiger or any...
No. It's all original stuff. So they're trying to do this to bring in, I think, the male element. And I think they're going about the wrong way because I think there is another way to tap into this. If you take a look at the all-time top-grossing plays... Number one, believe it or not, is Lion King. Number two, Phantom of the Opera. Three, Wicked. Four, Mamma Mia. So between the four of those, you've got two and two in terms of derivative versus original music. I don't know where you stand on that. But for me, again, I'm going to get back to the idea of I want to be moved by an orchestration, by a theme, not just the music, but the theme of the show. And if the play brings, you know, brings me some kind of, what do you call those, goose chills or whatever moments? Or,
yeah, I think they're called goose chills.
Yeah, okay.
What do you
call them that?
You mean goosebumps?
Yeah, goosebumps.
To march into hell, but a heavenly cause. And I know if I'll only be true to this glorious quest, that my heart will lie peaceful and calm when I'm laid to my rest.
I mean, I know.
I think I do have goose chills.
Now, I got messed up there because I'm watching American Idol too much with my wife, and Jay Lowe calls them goosies. So I've lost the the understanding of what the real word is,
right?
Because of that nonsense that she calls. Anyway, long story short is I'm looking for something to give me a message about life, hopefully an uplifting message, but something with a great orchestration, a great song with a terrific meaning. I'm not sure that play, Man of La Mancha, has great music all throughout. It has a couple of other good songs.
To Dream the Impossible Dream, is that from that?
Absolutely, that's what that was.
That's a good song.
Yeah.
We just heard? Why did you play that? You played the most unrecognizable part of that song.
This is what it's all about. It's about an education.
To Dream the Impossible. I would have known that right away.
I absolutely am. The one thing about that show I wanted to point out is that they talk in between the music, as opposed to Les Mis, where they just sing.
I dreamed a dream in time gone by, when hope was high and life worth living.
In chairs at empty tables, where my friends will meet no more.
You know, and also there's Little Something of Phantom of the Opera. Just get a feel for that, just what we're talking about it.
And do I dream again, for now I find the phantom of the opera is there inside my heart.
All right, so within the last three clips we've heard, you see my point of view that I'm kind of looking for that. I'm not trying to be prima donna or whatever, but if I'm going to pay a lot of money, I don't want to see a story I already know. That's just me.
Right. But did you like that music that we just heard?
You come to like it.
No, I'm serious.
I like it because it has an orchestration as well as a meaning to it. I'm not going to listen to it all the time, but I can listen to it. And it's not just about me, you know, my wife, my family, my kids. You know, at least you can get them involved and talk to them about, you know, what's going on and the ghost aspect versus, you know, with Les Mis also has a ghost at the end and there's some meanings to these plays. And the music is listen-to-able, if you will.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily buy the CDs, but others do. Those CDs are selling great. Speaking of selling CDs, Sting is someone that's not it's not a secret that he can sell left and right. He had a little bit of writer's block there a little ways back, and he went to write a brand new show called Last Ship, coming out soon. Let's take a listen and see what he did. I don't know. What do you think?
That is what I have an issue with. So if Sting, and by the way, I heard him sing that song, you know, just him and an acoustic guitar live, actually. And when he did it, it was great. But he's not singing it. You know, Bono wasn't singing the song in Spider-Man. And I think it loses something there to
me. It's possible. That's possible. Maybe they haven't perfected the craft of transferring their style into
someone else singing in a musical format. Right.
But we're definitely looking for the new, if you will, Andrew Lloyd Webber or somebody to create some original stuff. And they're trying. So maybe that's the new trend, is somebody that's been a success in the past in a different genre.
People have bombed on at it, right? I mean, I know we're kind of running short here, but Paul Simon had a really like a horrible
horrible.
They closed after one night.
That's why Disney's bringing back The Muppets, Jungle Book, Alice in Wonderland, Father of the Bride, Freaky Friday, Frozen. All of them are going to be on Broadway soon. To me, I'm going to say that I'm going to enjoy the Muppets. I think. See you next week.
It's The Muppet Show.